Jackson Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Preemptive pardons may be on the way in these waning days of the Biden administration. CBS News has learned the president is considering action to protect some of President-elect Trump's foes from possible retribution and future prosecution. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
It might include the California senator-elect Adam Schiff, a Democrat who's been a prominent critic, was a member of the first impeachment trial prosecution team and a member of the special House committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. The former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney is another name that could potentially benefit.
Pete Hegseth is still trying to salvage his bid to become defense secretary. CBS News has learned Hegseth submitted to an FBI background check. He's also continuing meetings with key lawmakers on Capitol Hill.
We've had great conversations about who I am and what I believe and, frankly, the man I am today. Because of my faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and my incredible wife.
New York City police may be close to identifying the suspect in the murder of United Healthcare CEO in Manhattan Wednesday. They say he arrived on a bus from Atlanta days before the shooting, and they released photos of his face uncovered at a hostel. Matthias Taranto says he stayed there at the same time.
The police was like right there, and the fellow told me that his friend was in the same room as that guy, and he was like, no, I'm sure that's it.
Aftershocks rattling Northern California after yesterday's magnitude 7 earthquake.
Do you feel it? This is so weird. We're literally moving right now.
That woman in Chico, CBS News San Francisco's Kenny Choi.
The offshore quake briefly triggered a tsunami warning and mass evacuation. Before it was canceled, at least 5 million coastal residents were told to seek higher ground from the Oregon border to as far south as the city of San Francisco, where the zoo was shut down.
A Russian woman accused of stowing away on a Delta flight from New York to Paris is scheduled to make a court appearance in New York today. Officials believe Svetlana Dali blended in with crew members after she was turned away when she tried to get on the plane without a boarding pass. CBS New York's Elijah Westbrook.
Prosecutors argue that Dali is a flight risk and should be held behind bars until the counsel is able to finish reviewing the details surrounding this case.
Wall Street is bracing for today's jobs report. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
We are expected to see a bounce back. The October numbers were so low, just 12,000 jobs added, primarily due to the combined impact of two hurricanes as well as strikes.
S&P futures down 2. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on how Donald Trump's picks for top law enforcement posts can damage our independent judiciary.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today, 25. The wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, 14. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 40. On Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. We'll be right back. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
1670 AM. The Zone.
Welcome to a Friday. It is the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. Here we are, sixth day of December. How you doing so far? I'm not doing too bad. The weather has definitely improved so far, and it looks like it's only getting better. We'll be talking details with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist. As the morning wears on, let me just paint with a general brush for you. Today, sunshine on the way. The winds are still going to be noticeable up to about 15 miles an hour, but temperatures will improve right around 30 degrees for our high. Tomorrow, even better. Partly sunny and 42, but the winds remain. Sunday, sunny and 49. A little bit of a wind. Even on Monday, we're looking at chance of rain in the afternoon, but daytime highs near 45. This crazy Wisconsin weather. We'll talk more with Stu in just a little bit. We've got a special guest this morning, Gory Geiger, who is a lead economist with CoBank, is going to step in. He's done some deep digging on what's going on with milk trends, not just as far as production, but as far as use. He's going to be joining us live this morning. And we're wrapping up our season of harvest with the friends from Helena. A couple different things to bring your way.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Imagine transforming unproductive land into thriving, profitable spaces while also supporting wildlife and the environment. It's not just about farming better, it's about making every acre count. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Anna Carls, Precision Ag and Conservation Specialist for Pheasants Forever, says whether you're a farmer or a landowner, innovative conservation practices can boost your bottom line and create lasting benefits. She tells us more about that, but first explains more about what Pheasants Forever is.
Pheasants Forever is a nonprofit organization pretty much promoting habitat around all wildlife. It was founded in 1982 in Minnesota, and now it expands all across the United States. So we started super small in Minnesota, and now there's over 600 employees, which is super cool, and we're still growing. So in the Midwest and like the northern half of the United States is what we call Pheasants Forever, and then the southern half is more Quail Forever. Basically, what I do, Precision Ag and Conservation Specialist is my title. There's those all around the state and the country, three of them here in Wisconsin, and we the ones that work with the farmers on the conservation side and doing the yield analysis. We also have farm bill biologists. Those are the people who are working with the landowners and the farmers, kind of with the CRP, so that permanent grass and all that kind of fun stuff. For habitat. And then we also have our wetland team, works on wetland easements and that kind of things. So works with landowners that way. And then, you know, all the other kind of staff we have, there's people that work with like the Pheasants Forever chapters, people that are specifically for hunting and outreach and, you know, so many different more, but that's kind of a little background of our team.
So then take us through what specific information or tools do farmers need to provide you in order to kind of go through their data analysis on their farm? I know that's a big part of what you do.
Yeah. So working with the farmers, yield data is a big part of what we need. And so when we go out to a farm, you know, make sure that farmers are capturing their yield data accurately, because that helps us when we analyze that, just have a better vision instead of everything kind of being all over the place. And so definitely accurate yield data from your yield monitor is something that we need. Preferably, we'd like to have multiple years of it, just so we can be even more accurate. So anything, I would say 3+, because sometimes if we get in just the analyzing 1 to 2 years, it can be a little iffy. And so, you know, there's different things that affect the yield every year, obviously. But those are that's one of the big things. And then if farmers would provide an economic analysis too. And so that would be the two things that we need.
So they're providing this data, but what maybe specific insights can they gain then from giving you this data?
Yeah. So then what we do, we work with the farmer after we collect all this data. We kind of do the behind the scenes work of, you know, putting that on top of each other, the multiple years of yield data, and then kind of analyzing that and picking out the certain spots in the field that maybe haven't been profitable for them. So what we like to call farmers like red acres. And so we do that, run the economic analysis and kind of line that up. And then you can see after we do that and after we get all that done, kind of those areas that aren't making them any money. And, you know, that they may be planting every year, but haven't made money on it in 5 years. And so kind of picking out those pinpoints and then coming up with different ways of how we can be profitable again. So working with the farmer then to, you know, implement different conservation practices or really, you know, a whole number of things that they can do so they can turn the red acres into green acres again.
And Green Acres makes me think of that show. Green Acres is the place to be. Well, this is the place to be for farmers if they want to make sure their land, you know, they're using it the best way.
Yeah.
So can you give us maybe some perspective just on what are some of those common inefficiencies that you find on the farms? Is it similar for all of Midwest or different portions, or kind of just what does that look like?
Yeah. So when we look at that, it could be anything from it's always a wet spot. You know, when you have a lot of drown out years, it's kind of iffy if you plant it or not. Sometimes it can be erosion in the field, or your topsoil is compacted and just different things like that. And so kind of coming up with a plan of how we can work to better that.
And so then once you have those problem areas identified, what are the next steps that you recommend? You kind of touched on it, but can you give some examples of just how these practices really help to lead to the improvement of their productivity, profitability, that overall bottom line?
Yeah. So depending on the farm and kind of the acres that are the red acres, it can be anything from, you know, just implementing cover crops as a whole entire field basis, or, you know, reduced tillage. It could be the field borders around the edge and the headlands. Is that where the problem is? And then, you know, maybe doing a field border and planting that either to hay or, you know, a pollinator, grass, whatever it may be. It could also be things like filter strips in the field, buffer strips, or even just taking some of the field out of production totally and putting it into grass.
Are there any cost share options or funding opportunities available to farmers that they may not know about to kind of help with this?
Yeah, so there actually are a lot out there, and I feel like it's growing every day. Conservation is a big topic that's talked about, and so there's a lot of money out there for these specific practices. So I actually am partnered with NRCS, and so we do a lot with their CSP, CRP, and EQIP programs. And so within that, there's a lot of cost share opportunity to do those practices that I mentioned before. But then, you know, different watersheds in your local area, they usually have a lot of funding for different things like that. Even like the land and county districts on the county level have a lot of cost share opportunities too. And even some seed companies now are providing an incentive for people to implement these conservation practices. Those are just a few, but there's a lot more out there. And so what we kind of do is, you know, help navigate. It's a lot of confusing things that go behind the scenes, but we're there to help the farmers navigate through that so we can get it done and get the cost share for them.
So how often do farmers typically then reach out to Pheasants Forever? I know you're pretty new to the role, but how often are they actually seeking this assistance to kind of, like you said, determine that yield data analysis, figure out what things look like and what they could take advantage of for their year-to-year basis?
Yeah, so it kind of depends for every farmer, I would say, because when farmers reach out to us, sometimes, you know, there's only one farm or one field that they want on their farm analyzed. And so, you know, we do that, get whatever. And then they may come back the next year and be like, you know, this other field of mine is really causing troubles and not producing what I want. And so we can do that again for that field. And then there's some farmers who want their whole entire farm analyzed right away, which is totally fine. We love doing anything we can to help support them and accomplish their conservation goals and farming goals. And so really, it just depends. You know, it can be in every year. I mean, we're there for unlimited technical service. So whenever they want to call us, we're going to be there to help them.
So since your position is relatively new in the area, what do you want farmers to know about your position, what you do, and just the why behind? Why should they care? Why should they be reaching out to you?
Yeah, so I think one thing is we always say, you know, there's room for conservation on every farm. And so whether that's, you know, on a field that they're working on right now in those profitable areas, making sure the whole entire farm is profitable, or, you know, just part of their farm that's literally in grass right now that they want to, you know, implement some sort of conservation, maybe like a pollinator plot or, you know, anything, we're there to help them. And so to reach out to us, there's like a number of ways you can do that. So on our Pheasants Forever website, there's a Precision Ag page that has the contacts for all of the Precision Ag people across the United States. And so on there, you can go and there's all of our contact information. You can also just call your local NRCS office and say that you want to talk to a Pheasants Forever person and they can get you in contact with that. But yeah, it's a really exciting thing and kind of new. Pheasants Forever only started this position a couple years ago. And so we're trying to branch out and make sure everybody knows about us, because every farm, I think, should at least have an analysis done on their farm at least once.
And I think the key thing here is you hear Pheasants Forever, you're thinking, I have to have pheasants in order to reach out to Pheasants Forever. But you don't. You can help any farm, right?
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to get. Because, you know, Pheasants Forever, people think of, yeah, like you said, birds. But it's so much more than that. It's providing habitat for all wildlife and making sure, you know, we lose habitat every single day, whether or that's, you know, people farming more acres or development and, you know, the city's expanding out. And so we're losing that every day. And so any farmland or, you know, just open areas that we have left, you want to make sure there's enough habitat and conservation on the ground for them.
And then this may be a kind of an oddball question, but if I don't live on a farm, maybe I'm in town, but I've got a really big yard, or, you know, I've got some acres in some places that aren't quite farmland. Do you have tips for how I can help with this on my own as well?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, you don't even have to live on a farm. Us at Pheasants Forever, we can help you. There's a lot of people in town that do, you know, different pollinator plantings, whether that's, you know, if they have a big garden, they want to do something to, you know, have that conservation, we can help them. And there's definitely cost share opportunities out there for them as well.
The possibilities for improving your land's potential and supporting conservation are closer than you think. Anna Carls, Precision Ag and Conservation Specialist with Pheasants Forever, is ready to help you uncover new opportunities for success. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Subecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Before a new Democratic governor takes office in January and it loses its supermajority, the GOP-controlled North Carolina legislature used a hurricane relief bill to strip power from the governor and attorney general. The draconian changes hinge on a pending veto override vote in the state house. The bare-knuckle bill was short on hurricane relief and long on keeping power out of the hands of Democrats. Earlier this year, a 2023 bill attempting to strip the power of the governor to appoint county election boards was struck down by the state's Court of Appeals. Now, Senate Bill 382 tries to remove that power by shifting it to the incoming state auditor, a Republican. In his veto message, current Governor Roy Cooper called the bill a sham and unconstitutional, and Democrats have declared it an outrageous power grab. The bill also includes a proposed constitutional amendment requiring voter ID for mail-in ballots and bans the Attorney General from opposing the legislature in court. The state Senate voted December 2nd to override Cooper's veto, and the House vote is pending. North Carolina Newsline reports that it's unclear whether Republicans have the vote in the House to override, with three House GOP lawmakers unhappy with the inadequate hurricane relief funding having voted against the original bill. We have the text of the bill and great local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink? Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media sports guru Mike Clemens, Lisa O'Hearn from the Sister Bay Historical Society, and it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr joins the show with great music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
To it being on Prime Video, that service versus kind of the traditional stuff. But yeah, I said this morning when I was doing television, I think Roger Goodell has got to be smiling from ear to ear on the way that the games have been rolling out this year. I mean, you know, just stop and think about how many games have been decided in just the last few seconds. One crazy play, like with Chicago and touching the ball. So he's got to be smiling about keeping us entertained anyhow.
Oh, yeah, the money's coming in.
Yeah, the money's always coming in. All right, so what's coming in from what I see on this forecast, Stu, is better weather all the way. In fact, surprisingly better weather, huh?
Yeah, how about some warm air? I think we can all deal with that. It is going to begin to warm up. Yesterday, still a bit cool. Most of us just into the upper 20s. Today, we ought to be around 30 or so, and tomorrow, even warmer. Having to do with high pressure diving just off to our south this morning. With that high, not nearly as windy as it's been, and some mild air will begin to build in. A little snow, lake effect snow, still up around Lake Superior, northeast Minnesota, the UP, and far northwestern Wisconsin. That's about it. Just a little light lake effect snow there. And otherwise, I'm expecting we're in for a bit of a nicer day. Winds becoming west and southwest, tapping into that more mild air mass and pushing those temps up back to a lot closer to normal, if you will, today. Mid-30s, our normals will be in the very low 30s, but it is going to be on the rise. Temperatures warming up for Saturday and Sunday as well. Oh, as we head toward late part of the weekend, a weak disturbance edges on in. A small chance of a little rain could become a possibility. Yes, rain. Rain drops, maybe a few snowflakes. That chance around later Sunday into early Monday. Not going to amount to much. I don't expect much for precipitation. But the small chances there, the temperatures that will be very mild in the 40s for a lot of us Sunday do cool off a little bit as we head toward Monday. And then by Tuesday and Wednesday, back to below normal. It gets cooler next week, but does begin to dry out as well. I'll be back with those forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit RuralMutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Well, this has got to be one of the first times in recent memory where people that are headed to Wisconsin Dells for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual conference don't have to worry about sliding and gliding, huh, Stu?
Yeah, I can go back 40 years to think of driving back from Farm Bureau Convention in the snow and ice.
Yes, yeah. So it should be much easier this year.
Yeah, it does look much better for that. And, of course, a lot more mild for all of us with outdoor operations. Let's look today for a few more clouds to build in. Call it partly sunny skies. Still a very nice day in the 20s in the north. More likely about 30 further south. That's not too bad. Southwest winds today about 5 to 15. Overnight, well, we'll become mostly cloudy. That does hold those temperatures a bit more mild. Very upper teens in the north. Could be almost mid-20s south. And the west winds only about 5. Partly sunny skies Saturday. Here comes a nice one where I expect a lot of 30s in the north, low 40s in southern Wisconsin. Southwest winds do pick up a bit, 5 to 15, gusting to 25. That's bringing that mild air into those southwest winds, so it's all good there. And then mostly sunny on Sunday, And that's where I really expect very upper 30s in the north, mid 40s south, 46, 47 degrees at Madison. Southwest winds about 5 to 15. A little rain, though, Pam, late Sunday night, early Monday, and still nice. I'd expect some 40s in the south Monday, but we do cool off the rest of the next week.
Yeah, but still, that'll give us nice little respite now that we've had a taste of what it's going to be like from here on out.
Yeah, a couple of days this weekend will be good. I've got some outdoor plans made already. It's got to get this done.
Yeah, exactly. Amplified. Get up the Christmas tree lights, if nothing else.
Highly overrated.
Have a good weekend, buddy. We'll see you next week.
All right, Pam, see ya.
Stumach Ag Meteorologist with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial, your financial partner for agriculture and rural life. Go to compure.com and find out more.
This is the Midwest.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
CBS News Brief. CBS News has learned President Biden is considering pardoning select Trump foes to spare them possible prosecution in the future. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says California Senator-elect Adam Schiff could be among them.
In a recent interview, Schiff suggested that such preemptive pardons are a bad idea and unnecessary, that ultimately federal courts would block any attempts by the president-elect to prosecute any of his perceived rivals.
New details about the still unidentified gunman who killed UnitedHealthcare CEO in New York. CBS's Anna Schechter.
The person of interest that police want to question took a bus from Atlanta to New York City in the days prior to the attack.
Northern Californians braced as a magnitude 7 earthquake triggered tsunami warnings. Angie Chavez was on the job at a restaurant in Rio Del.
I'm having to dodge all the bottles and merchandise that's falling out of there while also holding on to my two coworkers.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have a new show that they say will be as unforgettable as the first show they did together called, who cares? The duo is collaborating again for Peacock's new show, Paris and Nicole, The Encore. The short 3-episode series drops December 12th on Peacock. Following in the footsteps of Ross and Rachel, Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter are on a break after dating for a year due to rumors of infidelity on the part of Keoghan, who apparently has been hooking up with a TikToker, probably someone who got famous lip-syncing Carpenter songs. The influencer's name is Becky Hill, and she has 4 million followers on OnlyFans, which is somehow 5 million more than I have. People assume infidelity is the reason they split, but maybe Carpenter finally saw Saltburn and hasn't stopped vomiting. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi from Ford Field in Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Lions kicking a last-second field goal to win 34-31. It was a back-and-forth game all night. Detroit jumping out to a 17-7 lead. But in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon intercepted a Jared Goff pass, and the Packers offense scored to take the lead. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Thought our guys did a good job coming out the second half, kind of getting the momentum by going down, scoring a touchdown, hitting the big play to Christian, then defensively getting the takeaway and converting that into points. But ultimately, I thought we just started, especially on the offensive side of the ball, too slow.
So the Packers are now 9-4, but running back Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns, thinks they could face the Lions here in the postseason.
Yeah, we're going to see them again. That's the beauty of it all. You know, take these feelings, process them, and go back to work.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College hoops, Marquette hosts Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be live at WRCE in Richland Center. An entire hour of the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, sports, life, outdoors, and more, and Peter Rapine. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today, 25. The wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, 14. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, 40. On Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside right now, it's 12.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Matt. Pat Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Not a ton of drama, right? Because obviously we've talked about the recent commits. You know, a couple of the big-time additions, like a Carter Smith, like a Jalen Williams that I just saw, they were more recent. They're all in. They're officially signed.
It's a bird. It's a plane. Oh, no. It is a full-size drone and something that you could see flying over farm fields in Wisconsin come 2025. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We are going to bring you some of the details on some of the largest drones we've ever seen. In fact, they look like full-sized aircraft, but they're unmanned. Once they clear the FAA as far as safety is concerned, we might see them over farm fields in Wisconsin. Details on the way. We're also catching up with Corey Geiger. He's a lead economist with CoBank. He's been doing a deeper dive into what's happening with milk production, both here and internationally. And what about the demand for that milk? Corey's joining us live this morning, so stick around for that. Well, today is the sixth day of December. What can I tell you? Actually, it's a little bit on the thin side as far as this date in history, although one caught my attention. On this day back in 1968, a Wisconsin legislative subcommittee recommended that the state drop its 35-year-old ban against the sale of contraceptives to unmarried people, including the newly released birth control pill. That conversation happening on this day back in 1968. On this day in 1970, a coastal storm over the eastern United States was so strong, had such high winds, that it actually knocked over the national Christmas tree at the White House. And on this day in 1992, San Francisco Giants signed a $43 million contract with Pirates outfielder Barry Bonds. And now you know. Final conversation of the season with our friends from Helena Agri. They have been a great partner this growing season, making sure you knew no matter where you were trying to get a crop started or manage it through what was going on as far as conditions. We'll wrap her up this morning. Steve Bailey's joining us, branch manager in Monroe for our Helena Agri Enterprises. And it's kind of that end of the year look back at things, Steve, and also looking forward to 2025. I imagine that you and your crew in Monroe and elsewhere pretty doggone busy just trying to put a bow on the end of 2024 and get ready for 2025.
Yeah, we have, Pam. Been doing a lot of yield scrubs, getting guys' cards off combines, seeing what we took off for nutrients with the yield, and getting a lot of soil sampling done. Results are coming in or have been here for a while. Sitting down with growers, seeing what they need to replace for nutrients and look at the economics of it. So. Yeah. Kind of a good time right now to scoreboard. Was the seed you chose and placed in the certain spot in the field, is it the right choice? Do we need to adjust? And what do we need to do to be successful for 2025?
Yeah, and you talk about 2025. Fertilizer prices are a great unknown right now. If folks are trying to risk manage already, how are you doing on fertilizer prices out there, Steve? Can you guys lock things in before we flip a new calendar year?
Yeah, we've had a great fall putting fertilizer on. Typically, guys that do it in the fall stick with that program. Some guys might have pulled back a little bit, but the guys that pulled off record yields in some areas are putting more on and recognize what they need to do to keep that success next year. But we are currently in a period where we can buy for next spring needs. So come prepay time here in a couple of weeks, We'll have prices and should be as competitive as anybody in the marketplace. There's a little unrest. We don't know with presidency change, switch over. You know, there used to be some tariffs and stuff like that. So I'm unsure how that's going to affect fertilizer prices. But right now, things are pretty steady or have been the last 30 to 45 days.
Right. No supply issues that you're concerned about on any of the elements that we usually need, Steve?
No, not necessarily. Not right now. I mean, there's talk of issues getting maybe some nitrogen over here, depending on how things go across the ocean. But I haven't heard of any 911s or anything lately here that have me concerned that we won't get our supply. The river was a little bit low here this past fall, still is. So some of the barges were drafting at 20% less, but didn't seem to slow us down where we had to wait for fertilizer to show up.
Right. Again, Steve Bailey along with us. He is the branch manager in Monroe for Helena Agri Enterprises. And like you said, now is a good time to make sure that you have as much information as you can on cost of operations for next year, Steve. And that includes, as you said, reviewing that scorecard on your hybrids and getting locked in what you're going to need next year.
Yeah, and it's I got a great team in my plant here, and you know, give them a shot, talk to them, whether it's changing your population on the seed, the variety that you have out there, hybrid. There are certain varieties and hybrids that respond differently to side dress UAN or growth stimulant, stuff like that. Whoever you're buying your seed from, it doesn't just end there. You need to really understand what makes that tick. No different than growing cattle. Some are great milkers, and some are just average milkers but produce good calves. So understanding that out in the field is a big deal.
Very good comparison. I like that. Steve Bailey joining us on a Friday for the final wrap-up with our friends from Helena Agri. As he said, give them a shot. Let them have an opportunity for your business, and they will help you all the way through the system. It's not just about a one-and-done when it comes to Helena Agri Enterprises. Branch manager in Monroe, Steve Bailey, along with us. Want to find out more, find locations and products near you? Go to HelenaAgri.com.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Technology coming to a field near you in 2025 is getting bigger and more autonomous. The largest unmanned aircraft is waiting for FAA approval to fly in 2025. Mike Davis has the details.
Hector Zhu is founder and CEO of Rotor Technologies Incorporated in Nashua, New Hampshire.
We're building the world's largest and most capable civilian unmanned aircraft. How we're able to do that is that we're starting with a full-scale helicopter and putting our AI systems inside that helicopter. We can use them for critical missions like agriculture, offshore transport, disaster response, and we think they're going to be transformative for many industries.
When you're talking full-size aircraft, there are no cutting corners on safety.
Certainly one of the challenges that we have in developing these highly reliable systems is that they need to be reliable in all sorts of conditions and all sorts of real-world environments. So number one, that's why we still always have a remote pilot who is able to take over, you know, the aircraft's decision-making, and a lot of our focus on how do you enable that remote pilot to do more safely, rather than necessarily trying to replace the human pilot.
Kansas-based Heinen Brothers Agri-Services just bought an unmanned aircraft in August. Lucas Koch, Heinen's chief technology officer, says he doesn't envision the drone aircraft replacing all of the company's dozens of pilots of crop dusters, but rather taking over the riskiest jobs.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, putting more systems into the air that don't have a pilot inside could introduce new dangers to our current existing pilots and, you know, would make their life even more dangerous. We believe that once these autonomous systems become more mature, that's why we work with folks like Rotor, among others, that we'll be able to put those autonomous systems in the most dangerous areas and the manned pilots won't have to go in there anymore.
Zhu says agriculture is a natural fit for this technology.
One of the most urgent demands for our technology, for our product, is in agriculture, where more than 10 pilots this year were involved in fatal accidents in the U.S. Extremely dangerous environment where taking the pilots out and doing it with an unmanned operation.
The safety measures will go a long way to helping the company receive what it expects will be FAA regulatory approval to fly its helicopters commercially. I'm Mike Davis.
I got to tell you, I spent more time than I care to acknowledge this morning watching the video of that unmanned helicopter flying farm fields or flying spray patterns. It's something we could see in Wisconsin come 2025. That's how agriculture is dealing with an aging population involved in agriculture and a labor shortage in all facets of agriculture. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, pretty quiet. March corn's unchanged right now, 435. The January soybeans are unchanged, 994. March wheat's down a penny at 557. July new crop down a penny at 571. Barrel cheese yesterday dropped 2.5 cents to 164.25. 40-pound block cheese was down 3.5, 166.5, and AA butter was unchanged. The January Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 4 this morning at 1909 a hundredweight. Let's talk about that milk supply next with Corey Geiger. He is a lead economist with CoBank, and he's taken a deeper dive on what's going on with milk supplies. His conversation joining us live next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on how Donald Trump's picks for top law enforcement posts can damage our independent judiciary.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Joining me this morning, Corey Geiger, lead economist with CoBank. He has been doing some deep dive on new information that's out on just what we're getting from a hundredweight of milk produced on the farm. And Corey, I'll leave it at that, because really there people are probably should be shocked at what today's farmers are able to do with fewer cows and technology today. I mean, what we're doing on Wisconsin's dairy farms is pretty amazing when you look at the numbers.
Absolutely is, Pam. In all our lifetime, this is a generational change, but 100 pounds of milk when you and I went to school made 10 pounds of cheese. But today's cows, through better feeding, cow care, and genetics, are making 11 pounds of cheese from the same 100 pounds of milk. And butter, which is growing in consumption, 100 pounds of milk now makes 5 pounds of butter. And for all our lifetimes, it was 4.5 pounds. That is a big, big shift.
And people are going to say, why? Why are we able to do this, Corey?
So in the past 10 years, there's a science called genomics. We study the DNA of cows and compare it to the other cows. We can pick the best ones in the herd. And so today on Wisconsin dairy farms and across the country, we are now shipping milk every month that has over 4% butterfat. And it's the nutrients in milk, butterfat, protein, and all the minerals that make cheese, that make butter, that make yogurt, and all the delicious dairy products.
You know, the other side of the thing is what's happening with consumption and where are we going to take all this product? It's wonderful that our dairy farmers are doing such a bang-up job on the farm, but we also have to have a market for it. What do you see trend-wise there, Corey?
Yeah, new data just came out from United States Department of Agriculture this past week. Americans are consuming more dairy than any time since Dwight D. Eisenhower was president, so dating back to 1959. And cheese set a new record at 40.5 pounds. So cheese is the star of the dairy show, and butter consumption is now the highest level since 1965, and yogurt's doing really well. So those are three of the big products.
Are anybody else in the world interested in dairy like we are in the United States?
Well, unfortunately, most of us just watched the Packer game last night. They had a great showing. But if you go back to when Brett Favre won the Super Bowl, we were a non-player in exports in 1997. But today, 4.5% of our milk production via dairy products is being exported to Mexico. And that's our biggest export customer when it comes to dairy.
Now, you said when Brett Favre played, we didn't send any dairy products to Mexico.
That's correct. We were just newbies in the export game.
Yeah.
Just getting our sea legs.
So if I'm a dairy farmer out there and I'm hearing all this, Corey, should I be encouraged by this, discouraged by this? And is this maybe, I'll say, a salvo for the medium, small dairies that are out there on a Friday morning, that there's good possibilities for them too?
There is. And where we all need to go is, consumers are eating their dairy today, so we need to make more nutrients in our milk. And the top two are butterfat and protein. And 90% of Wisconsin's the dairy farmers out there, 90% of their milk check comes from butterfat and protein. So if we can breed cows and feed cows and care for them in ways that make more butterfat and protein, that actually lands up as more money in our milk checks.
Technology, food processing side of things, giving us any new innovations? We just got done with the Dairy Innovation Hub, looking at the next generation of products that Wisconsin's processors, cheesemakers, dairy farms might be engaged in. Did you see anything exciting there?
Well, there's a lot of innovation taking place there. And I think we didn't talk about fluid milk. Fluid milk has been down for a number of years, but there's a lot of new processing plants coming online and technology where we're filtering milk. About 100 million Americans identify themselves as lactose intolerant. So milk lactose is the same as sugar. And so we're filtering that out. And so we're selling milk and dairy products like sour cream and yogurt without any lactose in it. So we're meeting consumer demand that way. And the other thing is extended shelf life. We call it ESL in the dairy space, but I think in the next 4 to 5 years, a lot of school milk is going to be that. It won't need to be refrigerated, and it should taste really good, not like some of the experiments we had in years past, or it was a little bit like cardboard, but we moved way past that.
Yeah, a lot could be done as far as imaging for those school kids if we just change the package. You're right. If you're just joining us, Corey Geiger is along with us. He's a Wisconsin native, Wisconsin kid, shows dairy cattle, very engaged in the dairy industry, now one of the lead economists with CoBank. If people want to follow up on some of this information that you're sharing, Corey, is there a way for them to access it?
Yes, there is. I think the easiest way for people is get out your web browser and Google Cobank, C-O-B-A-N-K, and the word KED, K-E-D. I'm part of the Knowledge Exchange Division. So Google Cobank and KED, and you'll see some of the dairy reports that we've been working on these bigger issues for our dairy industry in the United States and Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, keep bringing that information to me, Corey, because like you said, consumers don't realize how dynamic the dairy industry is, and a lot of dairy farmers don't realize how efficiently they're producing some great quality protein that consumers are obviously enjoying.
We've made a lot of great progress in the dairy industry, and there's a lot on the horizon.
Excellent. Have a great Friday, Corey. Great weekend. We'll catch up again soon.
Take care, Pam.
Corey Geiger joining us live this morning again. Like I said, a farm kid through and through himself, involved in the dairy industry, now with Cobank. You want to find out more about those dairy statistics? As he said, simplest way is simply Google Cobank, K-E-D, Cobank, K-E-D. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you in Wisconsin Dells.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Horses help people deal with mental health issues. Next on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Lynn Thomas, co-founder and president of Horses for Mental Health, says exposure to horses can help open doors for people suffering from mental health issues. But she adds some folks can be skeptical of the idea.
And I actually found that there are still challenges in that regard because people are like, well, I'm around horses all the time and I'm still struggling. So that hasn't helped me. And so it's also about getting the word out there that these are professional mental health services. And here's how horses can uniquely benefit that process and apply to you, even if you're around horses all the time.
Thompson says the evidence is there.
These programs that are incorporating horses are having an impact. People are seeing their mental health improve, both of their children, themselves, their families, and that's really what we're all about.
You don't have to get a horse in order to explore the mental health benefits of the exposure. In fact, says Thomas,
it's not even about riding the horse. It's about the relationship and the healing that comes through that relationship. And so it's created a niche for horses that can't be utilized in other areas to have a space and a role. And so I think this work is benefiting everybody.
Horses for Mental Health has partners in 32 states, the District of Columbia, and in Canada. You can learn more at horsesformentalhealth.org. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that.
You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink? Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.